Welcome to the River Church Podcast.
We're all about bringing the life, hope, and love of Jesus to everyone around us.
For more information, check out our website at river-church.uk.
Morning. Thanks for having me. And happy Mother's Day to all the women in the room. Just to say again that I wore this lovely shirt because or jumper because I wanted to show all the youths and children in the room how much love mothers and women, all of us, have for you. It's a lot, not just one heart, a lot. I feel like women have more than one heart. Who feels so? Yes, we love you. And even though we come hard, it's the love that's coming hard. Yes, and I wanted to say that, but yes, we give God praise for another year to just celebrate ourselves. And I give God praise for the opportunity to be able to bring the word to us. I don't take it for granted. This is one word that has challenged me. I felt like God was spanking me this time around. I was telling my mom last night, but it was just good, you know, preparing for this, and I give God praise for that. Holy Spirit, I ask that you would just do a work in our hearts, even as we hear from you, O God. I ask this morning that you would minister to us, you would meet us where we are, and that faith will rise in this room, in this house, in our lives, and that our hopes will really be strong and built on you, even after this sermon, in the name of Jesus. Amen and amen. Yeah. What goes through the mind of a child that gets, you know, thrown up in the air like that? And I want to leave you with that thought, just thinking about, you know, what exactly is going on. Like, you throw a child in the air and, you know, I wonder what they're thinking about. And I will come back to that in a bit. But yes, like we have heard, we have been through the book of Hebrews, and we have talked about the superiority of Jesus Christ, all of what he has done for us as better and even best, and the importance of hearing, of entering into God's rest, and a whole lot more. But we are now getting into chapter 10, chapter 11 of Hebrews, and I don't want to rush into chapter 11, but I want to quickly mention that in chapter 10, we see that the author tells them about how perfect the sacrifice of Jesus was. He even challenged them about not insulting the grace that they have received, meaning don't take it for granted. And he also then spoke to them about perseverance. But it's important to note why he was speaking to them about perseverance. Why is the author of Hebrews saying, you know, persevere? And that's where I want us to just sort of look, start from this morning, to see the people that the author of Hebrews was speaking to. The author of Hebrews, we don't really know, we're not really very sure, but one thing we're sure about is the people he was speaking to. The people that that author was speaking to, they were Jewish Christians. They were believers who had accepted Christ, who had begun to walk in the faith, who had actually been persecuted, just like the stories we just heard. You know, it's so beautiful that Alan Jane brought us that this morning. You know, who were beginning to feel all of a sudden, because of persecution and temptation, that they needed, you know, to maybe revert to their former Jewish faith. Can you imagine that, people? People who had walked with God, accepted him, who had suffered before and stood strong, all of a sudden beginning to say, maybe we're better off, you know, going back to slaughtering rams and lambs. You know, can you imagine that? But it also tells us what can happen when all of a sudden we begin to falter and begin to doubt and begin to feel, is it even worth it? And I was thinking that before we even just look at it as the people of Hebrews, does that not sound like us a little bit? Does that not sound like us, where, you know, all of a sudden, it may be in a different way, but we have waited on God again and again, and we have prayed, and we're trusting for that thing, and it looks like it's not happening, and so we're thinking, maybe this path is not even just a path. Maybe there's really nothing there. Or does that sound like us being pressured on all sides by, you know, the challenges of life? Or is that even challenge at work? Or challenge in uni or in school, you know, with that dissertation or whatever? Or is it the challenges of being a Christian at work? Because that in itself is one. We're talking about that at my table at the women's breakfast yesterday. By the way, we had a great time at the women's breakfast yesterday. Can we give a hand, please, for the team? That was really good. I love listening to jazz. It was really good. And so could it be those kind of challenges? Or could it be that, you know, we have a totally different path that God is calling us on, whether as a family, whether as an individual, a single lady or a man, whatever it is, or even a 60, 70-year-old man, and you're thinking, can I still do this? And is it even worth it? Whatever the question is in the room, or is it the words of prophecies? I've heard God say this and that, when will they come true? Is all of this even true? So it seems to me that the author was speaking to me. He was speaking to you, and I wanted us to settle that first and just agree. Do we agree he was speaking to us? Yes, he was speaking to us. Thank you. But he says to them in Hebrews 10, 32 to 39, literally telling them clearly, I know how you feel, but I also know you. You have stood strong till this point. He literally reminded them that your love, your passion for God kept you to this point, even when you were persecuted. I can't imagine, you know, the person who slept on the cold floor. And so he was saying, you have been through this, but I'm going to start from 35, where he begins to now say to them, so do not throw away your confidence. It will be richly rewarded. Like, I can assure you of that. There is reward waiting for you and I. It says you need to persevere, to endure, so that when you have done the will of God, which is staying in faith, when you have done it, you will receive what he has promised. And that is here. And that is even after in eternity. He says, for in just a little while, he who is coming will come and will not delay. He was speaking about Jesus, that he is still going to come and he will not delay. And he said, but my righteous one. No, I like how he said it. He said, and but my righteous one will live by faith. And I want to stop there. I feel like I have a nudge. It says, and. So meaning that whilst we are waiting for Jesus to come, and my righteous one will what? They will live by faith right now. And it says, I take no pleasure in the one who shrinks back. Another version says the one who draws back, meaning the one who loses faith and thinks it's not worth it. I can't do this anymore. Says God says, I take no pleasure in those people. And then in 39, it says, but we do not belong to those who draw back and are destroyed, but to those who have faith and are saved. Amen. I want you to say that to yourself. I belong to those who have faith and are saved. This guy who wrote Hebrews was clearly telling them that, see, there is more coming. This is not the time to lose your faith. This is not the time to give up. Don't do it. Remember what this is about. And then he says, Jesus is still coming. And I feel like if we wanted to find hope this morning, which is the theme and the topic for today, finding hope, you know, faith, it is the fact that Jesus is coming. These people were living in a time, and, you know, we would get to that in a bit, but you and I have read the Bible at least to an extent. You can see the progression of the prophecies, the truth of the word of God, the fact that it is real. We cannot deny that it is real. And this is how, and this is where our faith will be hinged on. So he gave them that caution, and that's where we are now going to take it up. And yet you now wonder, so when he says, but those who have faith are saved, he says it's those who live by faith. You know, why is faith then so important? Why is this so important? That's probably a question in the room. Why is this important, Jackie? It's important because already as we see, and even if we check the scripture, Ephesians 2, 8 tells us. It says, for by grace you have been saved through faith. And this is not your own doing. It is the gift of God. So faith is necessary for you and I because it's how salvation comes to us, isn't it? Yes, we're saved by faith, by grace, through faith. Yes. And then it's also necessary for daily victory. I can imagine the strength of these stories that we've just heard this morning. It must be hinged on faith, believing the God that they're serving, that they are with, that they are representing. And that's the word for us this morning. So your faith is necessary for the victories of today, the victories of tomorrow, depending on the season that you're in. That's why 2 Corinthians 5:7 says, for we walk by faith and not by sight. And I know it's so easy to walk by sight. I'm there and I'm just thinking, God, help me to see beyond what I see now. But look at you, my gaze on you. Faith is necessary for eternal life. Faith is necessary for eternal life. The Bible says in John 14, 1 to 3, but towards the end, says, Jesus said, do not let your hearts be troubled. Believe in God. Believe also in me. I go to prepare a place for you. Faith is necessary for eternal life. So let's go and see it more, even just understanding that honestly, the journey and the walk we're on is hinged on faith. So we became Christians by faith. We would only live this life and this walk, this Christian life by faith. We also await the coming of our Lord Jesus by faith. It's faith. So then, okay, what then is faith, Jackie? Because, you know, you faith, you're just slamming it on our face this morning. What then does that look like? Hebrews 1, 11, 1 to 13 is really the core. In fact, the whole of Hebrews, can I implore you to please go home and sit with the whole of Hebrews this week? You would be encouraged. You don't need a preacher, honestly, for Hebrews 11, because your heart will be stirred up because you wonder, wow, they went through this, they did this, and they came out on the other side. How did they do that? And you would know that whatever it is you're going through, God has it sorted. He has it sorted. So let's read Hebrews together. I'm sure we're there. Now, faith is confidence in what we hope for and assurance about what we do not see. This is what the ancients were commended for. By faith, we understand that the universe was formed at God's command so that what is seen was not made out of what was visible. By faith, Abel brought God a better offering than Cain did. By faith, he was commended as righteous when God spoke well of his offerings. And by faith, Abel still speaks, even though he is dead. By faith, Enoch was taken from this life so that he did not experience death. He could not be found because God had taken him away. For before he was taken, he was commended as one who pleased God. And without faith, the Bible says in verse 6, it is impossible to please God. Because anyone who comes to him must believe that he exists and that he rewards those who earnestly seek him. He's a rewarder. Verse 7 goes on to say, by faith, Noah, when warned about things not seen, never been heard before, in holy fear built an ark to save his family. By his faith, he condemned the world and became the heir of the righteousness that is in keeping with faith. By faith, Abraham, when called to go to a place that he would later receive as his inheritance, even though he did not know where he was going, obeyed and went. Even though he did not know where he was going, I was ahead of myself. Verse 9, he says, by faith he made his home in the promised land like a stranger in a foreign country. He lived in tents, as did Isaac and Jacob, who were heirs with him of the same promise. For he was looking forward to the city without foundations, whose architect and builder is God. We know what that is, don't we? Yes, the city without foundations, whose architect and builder is God. Jesus is really coming. And by faith, when Sarah, who was past childbearing age, was enabled to bear children because she considered him faithful who had made the promise. Do you consider him faithful who has promised you? And then he goes on to say, finally, in verse 12 to 13, and so from this one man, Abraham, and as good as the dead came descendants as numerous as the stars in the sky and as countless as the sand on the seashore. In verse 13, it says, all these people were still living by faith when they died, meaning till we died, till our last breath, God, we will live by faith. It says they did not receive the things promised. They only saw them and welcomed them from a distance, admitting that they were foreigners and strangers on earth. So it's not really just all about all the goodies we'll get on earth. It's also about keeping our eyes on God and making heaven and being there with our Father. And it is possible that sometimes we pray for some things and we don't get to see them in our lifetime. It is not because God is not faithful. I remember the story of a guy who I watched, and he was on Instagram, and I tried to find it this past week. But he was saying quickly that he was being baptized, and he was saying the only wish he had was that his grandmother was witnessing his baptism. And he was saying, because I know she spent all of her days praying for my salvation. So yes, she died and she didn't see him come to Christ, but did he come to Christ? He did. He did, and that's the God we serve. So it's not so much about now, but also about then. Okay, so what is faith, Jackie? We hear you. I'll tell you what faith is in a very simple way. I know we know it, so I'm not going to keep reiterating. I'm just going to tell you that faith is the guarantee, is the assurance we have in our hands. Think of it like a title deed. For those of us who have bought houses, whether home or abroad or here, you know what a title deed is. You know that even if you haven't seen the house, you haven't entered it or even gotten the keys, the moment they give you a title deed, you know you've got a house. It's got your name on it, isn't it? So that's it. And that's what it looks like. So what is that? What do we have in our hand that is the assurance that we have what we're trusting God for? It's the word of God. That's our title deed. The word that we have for our children, for our health, for our marriage, you know, the word that we have for whatever it is, that increase, whatever you're trusting God for, that protection, that word that says he will leave the 99 and he will come for the one. God is really saying something about that, don't we know? Yesterday, Jazz came and said it. You know, and I remember I told Ian in the week that I really had a pull towards just, you know, saying that we can't lose faith for those people we're trusting God for. It's going to happen by the grace of God. So faith is acting like something is so, and I will come to that later. But what I want us to focus on today and this morning in this moment is that faith is an inherent trust and an enduring confidence in the power, in the wisdom, and in the goodness of God. Inherent means permanent, not temporary. Those were the areas where God started spanking me, like, Jackie, you know, I know you. You know, I know you love me, you trust me. You know, but is it permanent? Is it only one for that situation? And then when we're done, you continue to live by sight? Or is it permanent trust in the power of God? See what we are trusting in. Just so we know, that's the title deed. The power of God, the wisdom of God, and the goodness of God. That's where our faith is in. That's where our hope is going to come from, always. And I love that if you look at, and that's how faith works, and that's what we need to know. I love that if you look at verse 2 of Hebrews 11 that we read, it says, it is this same faith that made the fathers of old get God's commendation. Another version says that by faith, men of old, fathers who went ahead of us, got the approval of God. It says previous generations were commended and they obtained a good report. Who knows what report cards look like? We had a lot of that growing up. In a very stricter way than you guys have it here, just so I say, you know, strict way that they would tell you if you were first out of 30. And they will tell you if you're 29th person out of 30. It was that bad. It was so, you know. But it says that this is what it looks like. We have a report card with God. And that clearly it was faith that made them get those good positions. Look at this commendation. That it's not by the age of these people. It's not by the possession. It's not so much about all the great achievements. No. It was the fact that they trusted God. Ah, I'm going to trust you, God. I'm not going to fail on that. And I pray that that's what we're just all saying, even as we listen. So it's clear that, you know, there are people in the Bible who clearly walked this path, who clearly, you know, God said, tick. Green, you know that green tick on the emoji list, the green tick, by their names. There are people, and the list is long. There's Abel, there's Enoch, there's Noah, there's Abraham, there's Sarah, there's Jacob. The list is long, which is why I want you to please sit down with Hebrews 11 later. So how did these guys do it? What did they do? So we've seen why faith is important, what faith is, and then we want to see how. How did they do it? Who are these people? And we have a long list, but we can't cover everything. So we're going to look at Hebrews 11, 7. We already looked at that, Noah's example. But we'll look at Hebrews 11, 23, which says, and I'll read here. It says, by faith, Moses' parents hid him for 3 months after he was born because they saw he was no ordinary child and they were not afraid of the king's edict. By faith, verse 31, the prostitute Rahab, because she welcomed the spies, was not killed with those who were disobedient. By faith, also he says in 39, I'm not used to the by faith, you can tell I'm used to it already. 39, he says, these were all commended for their faith, yet none of them received what they had been promised, since God had planned something better for us, so that only together with us would they be made perfect. Those people are waiting on us. I love that as well, but I'm not going to dwell on that. They're waiting on us. Together, we're going to enjoy eternity, and I give God praise for that. But let's look at these people. I want us to look at them quickly. We'll look at Noah. So let's focus on Noah. So there's this man called Noah. This man, the Bible says that he was the only one found, you know, worthy, righteous. And I can bet that he wasn't 100%, you know, if you see what I mean. I don't think, but the point in that place in the Bible, in Genesis, was clearly that Noah was righteous. And God came to him and God said, Noah, I'm about to destroy the whole of the earth. But I want you to do something for me. I want you to build an ark, because once the flood comes, it's going to wipe off everyone, isn't it? And he said to him, go and start building. And he gave him specific dimensions. Some of us have received specific dimensions of the things that God is asking us to do. Even as a church, even as different teams and ministries, as a person, as a family, you know that you have a calling. You have things that God is stirring your heart to. And some of us, the simple instruction, like, leave that and come for this. And we're trusting God to carry us through. But Noah, the Bible says that he obeyed God. When I was reading that chapter of where Noah's story is, the Bible actually writes that, and Noah obeyed God. And like, he did what God said. But let me blow your mind a little bit. Before you think Noah is some super guy, think of those ship, cruise ships you guys go on. I haven't been on one yet, trusting God for that. I know it will make it happen. But you know what that looks like. Mighty, isn't it? You look like an ant beside it. I try to get a good picture, because when I read the dimensions of the ark, do you know that they said the length was meant to be about times two of a football pitch? God said to this man, go and build that. And so he started building. Let's not dwell too much on that. I wish I could, but I wanted you to take that in so that you understand that God can really tell us to do great things that are even mind-blowing. So he told him. And so he started building. And I know what would have happened to Noah. Can I tell you? Neighbors and all those guys, I won't call them any name, who God was saying he wanted to destroy, were most likely saying, this guy must be crazy. This guy is mad. He has lost it. He doesn't even have anything to do with his life anymore. Look at him. Look at him, just wood upon wood. He has taken all the wood we have in all of this land. And you know what they would have said? They would have said, he's not only crazy, he has infected his wife. The woman is crazy too. Look at them. All building. Look at his sons. Oh my goodness. But look at all of that. But the Bible says that Noah was commended, even though there had never been rain on earth before. Meaning that they had never seen what was coming, but he obeyed. You know, and I know a lot of us are in that place where we don't even know what's on the other side. But one step after the other, we would then see it. You know why I like Noah's story? It buttresses that definition I was trying to give us earlier, and I'll give you in a bit. So Noah obeyed, and they built the ark. And what they had never seen before happened. The flood came. And they were preserved. What God had said became a reality because of a man's faith. That's what that looked like. So we see Noah. Faith is about obeying God when it doesn't make sense. Let our hope rise today, knowing that we're not crazy. We're working with the Father. So it means that faith is acting like something is so, even when it is not so. That's what Noah did. It means that faith is acting like something is so, even when it is not so, in order that it might be so. Why? Because God said it. God help us. That even as we expand as a church, you know, I mean, I thought about it when I was preparing for this preach, that God said, come and go to Gravesend, you know, break out to Gravesend, isn't it? And you're wondering why. It's not why are we trying to do that? But God was, the real word was that we're going to be a river. We're going to be more, it's multiplied, isn't it? And so we took a step of faith to say, let's go and make room so that we can see what God has said will happen. So it's not really about seeing what is going to happen first, but it's actually going to make room, to create opportunities for God to bring that to pass. God help us. But I want to go to someone else because it's easy for us to say, God spoke to Noah. God hasn't spoken to me. No, Jackie, I'm okay where I am. Leave me alone. Okay, God did not speak to Moses' parents. The Bible says, I love this one, and it really hung, you know, sort of gripped my heart when I was preparing. The Bible says that Moses' parents, particularly Moses' mom, but please, I am not exonerating anybody. It's the job of father and mother. The Bible says that they risked their lives to save their son and the destiny of their son. They were living in a time, let me help our youths a bit and just to listen in. They were living in a time where Pharaoh, the king, had said all male bonds of the Israelites must be killed, and even their women. He was trying to make sure that they don't have enough children and men that can overpower them in the future because they were in Egypt as slaves. So this guy said, let's kill all their sons so that they never become anything. Some woman gets pregnant in the midst of that. She has a baby in the midst of that. Meanwhile, you know how you're getting pregnant? You're like, death sentence is on my name already. Like, I'm going to die. But this woman, the Bible says that she thought quickly about what to do because she knew that this child was precious. Like every child in this room, in this church, and even in this world, she thought, what can I do? And the Bible tells us that they came up with a plan. God didn't come and say, hey, Jochebed, what her name was. He didn't say, oh, yes, so you better keep that son. No. But they took what they knew, that no, these are our sons, these are our children. and they went and put him in that basket. What do you call that thing again? And they put him on the water. They took the step of faith that actually will mean not only death sentence for the woman and the boy, but even the whole family by the time Pharaoh got to know about it, yes or no. But God, being the faithful one, he followed that act of faith. He backed them up. That boy was saved. That boy was raised. And that boy became all that God destined him to be. Hallelujah. Ah, that's faith at work. That's why Moses' parents were on this list. And I prayed for all of us. Grace for all of us. Pray for myself that we'll continually do those things. Walk, you know, take those steps of faith for our children. Even the ones that you think are old, they're too old and, you know, they're on their own. We will continually stand in faith for them. Even for the ones that we feel are good and they're doing well now, we stand in faith for their destiny. We will. We will. So faith is acting on what you believe, no matter the cost. You know that this is God's word. This matches God's word. You go for it. Go for it. Believe God for it. And so, yes, we see, a hall of fame, you know, but that's what we call it on earth, isn't it? The hall of fame where celebrities and all of that, you know, where their achievement, their success, you see them, they have the stars on the floor and they're all feeling cool with themselves. But they only got that by achievements, by success. And actually, as far as the kingdom of God is concerned, that's not how it works. The kingdom of God celebrates people because of their faith, their inherent trust in God, their trust in his power, in his wisdom, and in his goodness. And so we see God saying, I want you on that hall of fame. It's not just Enoch, Noah, Abraham, Isaac. I want you. I want you, Marilyn. I want you, Gary. I want you, Kyle. I want everyone. I want you on the hall of fame. Yeah. I love it. It's such a beautiful invitation. All right. There's this story I want to share quickly about D.L. Moody. You may know him. He's one of those God's general in those days. There's a story about him that he believed God so much for 100 of his friends to come to Christ. So he had a long list of 100 people. How many of us have a list up to 10 of people we're trusting God for? He had a list of 100 people, and that's a challenge. Please take that as a challenge to me as well. And the story says that he continued to pray for them, that 96 of those people gave their lives to Christ while he was on earth, while that man was still living. And guess what happened to the 4 others? Who knows? The 4 others gave their lives to Christ at the guy's funeral. Oh, God. Isn't God faithful? God is faithful. 100 souls. your next door neighbor, add them to the list. Believe God for them. That's the challenge. And so, if the Bible is still being written today, what's going to be that thing that God will say, and, you know, Sarah believed me for it, right? And he will say, and Moses believed me for it. And already Moses, you already have a predecessor in the Bible, isn't it? You know, but what is that thing? What's your faith story? And we already know what faith looks like. It looks like not drawing back, isn't it? It looks like enduring. It looks like persevering. It looks like confident trust, permanent trust. It looks like steadily going forward and working with God, whether we see the answers or not. Whether we know, it looks like constantly looking forward to heaven, to being with God. It looks like doing his will and continuously seeking him. Choosing his way over the way of the world. That's what faith looks like. That even though it doesn't make sense to my colleagues, I'm going to keep doing right. That's what faith looks like. Right? And waiting for the Lord's day. So, here is it. God has expectations for you and I. He does. He says, go and believe in my character. I am faithful. I am good. I am kind. I am forgiving. I am ever loving. There's no day I don't love you. That's what God is saying. He says, believe in my character. He is who he says he is. That's what kept these people going. All these people in the Bible, they knew. They believed him. He says, believe in history. Believe in the track record that you have with God. Even you know, you've prayed for healing, he's healed you. You've seen him work wonders. And even for those ones that look like you didn't see the answer you wanted, you know he's done the best. You know. You know he loves you. Nothing he's done is for, you know, to hurt you. No, he loves you. So believe in my history. Look at all of these heroes of faith. Go and study them. Believe that I can do it again. And then he says, believe in my promises. My word would never fail. He says, I will do what I say I will do. The question I want to ask everyone in the room today is, what is the word of God you are hinging that thing you are trusting God for? I need you to go and find a word. A word for that healing. A word for that marriage. A word for that friend. A word for whatever it is. For the new phase of life you're in. For the, you know, you're like, I'm on this, I never saw this coming. Go and find a word for it. That I will be with you on this new path. Find a word for whatever it is. That exam, that degree, that career. Find a word for that ministry and the expansion that is coming. And stay on that word. And so he says, receive the promises on earth. He expects us to receive his promises on earth here. Be evidence of his goodness, of his power and his mercy and his kindness. And also receive his promise in eternity. We're wrapping up in a bit, but I want to call on Jules. You know, Jules has a word of knowledge. And let me tell you something. One of the ways that we know, and I will share a story at the end, and there will be prayers. There will be prayers this morning, church. There will be prayers. And it's not one, I know that we have it almost every time now. It's not because we want to have it, but it's because God wants to meet us and he wants to envelope us. Do you see? Even at that moment of faith or trust in him. And I want you to not take it for granted. I'll share a story about one time where I had to receive prayer in this church. And I feel like it will stir our hearts. But I think I'll do it after Jules has shared her word of knowledge. Please just put our hands together for Jules. Thank you. And I just want to encourage us. Don't go home when a word coming to us means God is here. God is interested in us. God wants to meet us. He wants to heal us. I'll just share quickly, and that's the end of the sermon this morning. But it's the fact that in 2018, I was here. I was barely 1 year in this church. The Lord had asked me to do something, write a book. And I thought, this is crazy. You know, I can't do this. It's shameful. I had all my reasons. And I was nursing that in my heart. Like, I can't do it. It's too much. Maybe like Noah. But then I came to church that Sunday, and luckily it was and who was preaching, and he said, God is asking you to do something. This was how he stood in the front, but he was in that church. We were still using the treasure hunt place. And he said, God is asking you to do something. You're thinking, why? And I'm thinking, hello, do you know me? I was not even a year in this church, so just so you know. And he was saying, and I could feel my heart beating, boom, boom. And some of you have felt your heart beating as I've been speaking, because you know that this matches you. I'm begging you to come out for prayers today, because we can add faith to your faith, and we can go with more courage and go and be all that God has called us to. So he said, come out for prayer. That day it was Gary and Karen who prayed for me. And I just gave them a hint. I said, God has asked me to do this, and da-da-da. And I want prayers. Just pray for me. And they were praying for me. And I was crying because I knew that God had caught me. And I was weeping. I remember that I was weeping because I was tearing the tissue. Karen had gotten me tissue to mop my face. And but God was meeting me. And did I do that assignment? I did it. Has God taken the glory for it? He has. It has touched lives. Are you here today? Come out for prayers. As the worship goes on now, I want you to respond to God, not to me, but to God, because he wants to meet you and he wants to take you forward. God bless you, church.